Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining our second quarter 2019 results presentation conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. From GB Auto, we have Nadir Gabour, Deputy CEO, presenting the second quarter 2019 results. I will hand over to Mr. Nadir for his presentation, and then we will have a Q&A session. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining our results call for the second quarter of 2019. Let us begin with the performance at the group's auto and auto-related segment. The challenges we faced since the end of 2018 have continued to affect performance during the first 6 months of this year. Egypt's passenger car market continues to see suppressed demand, with customs relief thus far focused on high-end models produced in Europe, opposed to more economic, non-European, or locally assembled products. Consumers continue to delay purchase decisions in the face of price uncertainty, while seasonal effects further dampen demand during the period. In contrast, three-wheelers are seeing very strong demand but constrained supply. This is a result of new regulations adopted during the first quarter of 2019, placing monthly limitations on the number of licenses which can be issued. Besides affecting the auto and auto-related segment's performance, this move has deprived Egyptians in the lowest income bracket from an affordable means of transportation and an important source of job creation, adding unnecessary financial pressure at a time of high inflation. A major bright spot during the period came from GB Auto's regional operations. We are very happy with the segment's performance, particularly in Iraq, where improving external conditions have given sales across all our product segments a large boost. The group leveraged this improvement to introduce new models, and these have proved very popular in the Iraqi market. Regional performance has tempered the effects of falling Egyptian passenger car and two- and three-wheeler revenues on the segment's top line. Although the auto and auto-related segments' revenues fell by 10.3% year-on-year to £4.7 billion, in the second quarter, the first half of 2019 saw the segment's revenues grow by 4.3% year-on-year to reach £9.6 billion, driven by the strong regional line of business revenues. On a year-to-date basis, our commercial vehicles and after-sales lines of businesses have acquitted themselves quite well, growing at respectable year-on-year rates of 8% and 4.7%, respectively. Tires continue to be a standout performer, clocking up growth of 27% year-on-year during the first half of 2019, with a better sales mix and an improving distribution network, keeping growth in the double digits. As I mentioned previously, performance on the regional front has been a major highlight of the period. Regional revenues almost doubled between Q2 2018 and Q2 2019, contributing around 38% of the auto and auto-related segment's consolidated top line. On a year-to-date basis, regional revenues more than doubled against their level in the first half of 2018, reaching £3.4 billion. This rapid expansion was driven by the Iraqi market, where volumes of passenger cars rose by more than double, and volumes of two- and three-wheelers grew by 67% in the year-to-date. We are now implementing a strategy to leverage and accelerate this volume growth with a focus on expanding our sales and after-sales network in the country. On the balance sheet side of the auto and auto-related segment, we saw an impact from the new Egyptian accounting rules. These new rules mean that operating leverage of auto and auto-related were brought onto the balance sheet. Our net plant property and equipment rose by £1.1 billion, and correspondingly, our lease liabilities were bought into the notes payable. We have included these notes payables into our net debt definition. Net debt, therefore, rose to £6.9 billion. Out of this amount, a portion of £1.1 billion is solely due to changes in accounting standards and do not reflect a change in cash flow or economic circumstances of GB Auto during the second quarter of 2019. At the group's financing business, GB Capital, performance has been greatly encouraging. Despite continued weakness in the Egyptian automotive market, GB Capital's top line grew 9.1% year-on-year before intercompany eliminations to book 1.2 billion Egyptian pounds in Q2 2019. We continue to maintain a very healthy loan portfolio, with the NPL ratio declining to 1.23% compared to 1.63% in Q2 2018, and the NPL coverage ratio rising to 220% from 149% over the same period. GB Lease completed its second securitized bond offering during the quarter, with the transaction valued at 767 million Egyptian pounds. We intend to use the proceeds to deleverage GB Lease's balance sheet and improve its liquidity position, establishing new borrowing limits with lender banks and supporting the subsidiaries' future expansion. GB Auto's diversified operations and integrated product offering remain at the core of our competitive edge, and we intensively leverage these strong points as we work to optimize performance and maximize value for our stakeholders. The group has moved rapidly to insulate the business from the challenging external environment and has adjusted the portfolio and sales mix in passenger cars. With the summer months expected to bring a seasonal uptick in Egyptian auto demand and the licensing cycle for the three-wheelers potentially picking up steam, we are confident that volumes on these fronts will improve over the coming quarters. We are also hopeful that measures will be adopted to shield Egyptian manufacturing capacity and know-how in the automotive space and to provide a more equitable arena, addressing market uncertainty and optimizing the use of foreign currency. Our guidance will be reverted back to quarterly basis, especially for the auto and auto-related segment. For the third quarter of this year, we will be delivering over 20% revenue growth compared to the second quarter, with a gross profit margin of 9%. At GB Capital, we are sticking to our previous full-year guidance of delivering a bottom line increasing by over 30% after minority compared to 2018. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I will conclude my remarks and open the call up to your questions. Operator?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We will just take a brief pause to allow all participants the opportunity to signal for questions. There are no questions in the telephone queue at this time.
Can give them a few more seconds.
We do have one question that's come in. Our question comes from Dayar Hossein of Pharaoh's Holding. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'd like to thank you for the call. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Yes, okay. I wanted to ask about guidance for the tires business and two and three wheelers. There was a news article today about an increase in capacity that's expected in both segments and establishing a tire factory. So can you tell me more about this?
We actually have never announced such things, and we are about to deny those reports within 24 hours. So none
okay,
of
so,
what
so
you
there's
said,
no increase
actually.
In
Mm-hmm. There is no tire factory to start with increase the capacity. So it's a wrong information, and we will deny it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Imran Patel of Tundra Fonder. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I have one question regarding the GB Capital. If you look at the sales, general and admin expense, they rose by around 68% during the first half. So can you brief us or give us more details about the initiatives that company is undertaking right now, which has led to this kind of increase?
Okay, first of all, this is coming if you compare the first quarter, first half 2019 versus the first half 2018, there is a huge increase in the portfolio by approximately more than 25%. So if you are comparing year over year, this is one of the main things. In addition, the securitization of GBLs has incurred during the first half of 2019, while during the last year, GB Leaves has incurred its first securitization issuance during the third quarter 2018. So this is mainly the two reasons for the increase year over year in the sales or gross revenue.
All right, thank you. And I have second question regarding the localization level of new car CKD, which was released this month.
We currently stand at the 45% local content based on the Egyptian standards of calculating local content.
All right. And my last question is regarding three-wheeler. As I understand, you mentioned that the Egyptian government regulatory authority has put a limit on the number, restriction on the number of licenses they can issue for three-wheelers. So can you give me more details? Because if you look at your number of sales for the three-wheeler, it was close to 2,200 units per month. So is this the limit which is given to you by the regulatory authority right now? And we can
actually
expect similar trend in the...
Actually, the restriction started taking place in March of this year. And at that point, we were only given maybe 1,000 units to be licensed. And those 1,000 units have been increasing gradually to currently reach, in July, 3,500 units. So we expect that over the coming months, monthly licenses that we could be provided with could be in the range of anywhere between 3,000 to 4,000 units.
Per month?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Gada Ala of CI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the call. My question is basically on the local passenger car market. Are you seeing any like concrete changes that would give us hopes of anything that is to happen on the regulatory front soon, like that is anything similar to the Automotive Directive maybe or along these lines?
Well, we believe that the government has finally realized that the current regulatory environment is unsustainable given the automotive industry as well as the government's objectives to enhance the local manufacturing know-how of the country. So through sources, of course, we believe that the cabinet is currently working on a certain automotive strategy that could be similar to the automotive directive that we have been discussing over the past years. Of course, the timing of such thing is still unknown to us, but we remain extremely confident that a change is going to happen, a positive change will happen to support the local manufacturing in Egypt.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ahmed El-Saharti of Rohatyn Group. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. My question is a follow-up on Gheda's question, basically, which is the gross profit margin of the passenger cars has hit an alarming level at this point, below 5%. So I just wanted to understand in more detail the management's plan in the next few quarters to protect, if not increase, this margin to reach the 9% for auto and auto-related, especially that we've seen a lot of discounts on the market offering price decreases to in order to move volumes.
Basically, if we focus specifically on the passenger car, margins have been depressed on the account of two fronts. Of course, the unfair custom treatment between the European, Turkish, Moroccan origins compared to non-free trade agreement countries. So this has put significant pressure on our margins in order for us to maintain volume. Also, the other front that affected the overall margins is that we had to liquidate inventory in the first half, and we will finish the liquidation of this inventory towards the end of Q3, beginning of Q4. At this point, we should see margins of passenger cars slightly recovering compared to the first half of this year, but will remain suppressed compared to the historical, given the unfair treatment that we are getting from the customer perspective.
Makes sense. Thank you. And then just another question on leverage. Where do you see the direction of your debt to go in the next few quarters? Do you have any plans to delever, or is it going to stay the same in order to replenish working inventory?
I would say, to be conservative, it could remain the same, maybe slight improvements.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Gada Ala of CI Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question. It's an accounting one, actually. Could you elaborate more on the impact of the new accounting standards on your P&L for the auto and auto-related specifically? Because what's confusing is that I think, based on what you disclose in the earning release, you're having a net positive impact from this accounting change. So could you elaborate more on why is that?
Yeah. There has been a change in the new accounting, Egyptian accounting standards with respect to the recognition for the lease transaction. In the past, the sale and lease back transaction and finance lease used to be accounted as an off-balance sheet, not recorded as a fixed asset, and the installment paid used to be recorded as a rent expense. This accounting standard has been changed, and the transition period during this second quarter, and this transition has been carried out retrospectively. For auto and auto-related entities, fixed assets has been increased. The lease assets recognized as a fixed asset, and we start depreciating this lease assets. And on the other hand, the finance lease obligation we are paying, it's split between the principal and interest. The gain you've seen in the financial statement during the affecting the retained earnings mainly coming from two factors. The first one, some of these contracts were carried out with third parties, and there is a difference between the total rent based in the previous period, as well as the finance cost. The second one, the effect of the tax coming from the transition of implementing this accounting standard.
Okay, because my understanding is most other companies that I have seen, which have also implemented the IFRS 16, which is equivalent to this standard more or less, I think the impact was more or less offset, because basically you remove the rent from the COGS and SG&A and then you replace it by depreciation and interest expense. So the impact was mostly either just a small loss on the P&L or more or less not material.
It really depends on the on the difference between the amortization of the rent has been split into between into principal as well as the interest, and the interest is a decreasing interest therefore, and the depreciation is on a straight line basis, therefore there is a difference between the interest as well as the depreciation expense. This is one point. The second point, the tax effect of this transition. And the third one, it really depends on whether this is a finance lease or sale and lease back transaction. Yeah, therefore, it will be changed from one entity to another, and it really depends on the types of the assets, whether it is a sale and lease back transaction or a finance lease, and the duration since inception from the lease. All these factors contributing to whether it will result in gain or loss.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from AJ Singh of Jarir Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the call. I had a couple of questions. First of all, you're guiding to a 20% growth in Q3 for the auto segment versus Q2. Just wanted some color on how do you see that growth? Is that going to be a market share growth, or are you looking at the market growth because of the seasonality? And slight more color in terms of which products you're going to see a growth in. That's on the PC segment. On the two-wheeler, if you can give us some color, there seems to be a slightly lower growth in Q2. It's almost flattish compared to, it's around 4,500 levels from 7,600 levels in Q1. What's driving that? Is that, again, some structural change going on in the industry? That's two questions, if you may.
Well, regarding the first question, we see the revenue growth on the passenger car front in Q3 mainly driven by the overall market demand. So overall market demand in the first half was depressed given the Let the Trust campaign. But we have already started seeing this campaign completely wave off starting the middle of June, and demand has been coming back since July and continued during August, so we expect total market demand to continue in this positive trend. Also, we just launched in July a new CKD model called Arizo, Arizo 5. This is an entry-level model locally manufactured here in Egypt. And, of course, with the beginning, the volumes are not going to be up to the optimal level because this is the launch phase, but still this would add on a few hundred at least cars during the quarter. For the second question on the two-wheeler front, actually we have had a supply issue in Q2, although market demand is good, and our market share in the two-wheeler front is actually historically high, so we expect during Q3, because we have normalized the supply issue, so during Q3 we should not have a volume problem. I hope this answers your questions.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. If I may ask a couple of...
Hello? Hello?
In terms
I'm
of
sorry,
pricing...
Sorry, can you see the question?
Yeah, can you hear me now? Is it better?
Yes.
Yeah, so just a follow-up. In terms of the PC segment, so what is the pricing gap that you are looking at compared to the European brands right now? That's one. The other thing is, where is GB Auto's strength lies? It's I'm sure, further away from just the brands. As a name, it's much more than the brands that you are selling. So despite the price gap, is there anything else that you can count on GB Auto's name which should help you gain market share in this market?
Of course, yeah. At the end of the day, the market looks for a price positioning. So we, in order for us to be able to maintain healthy market share, we have to be properly positioned compared to European origin makers. But of course, with a 40% gap in custom duties, this puts significant pressure on our margins if we want to maintain this healthy market share. So we are in the market since tens of years, and we're going to be in the market for the next tens of years. So we believe that the current unfair situation is absolutely not sustainable, so we cannot let go of our market share currently. So we have decided to sacrifice from our margin, maintain presence, strong presence in the market in view of the regulations change. Of course, pricing is not the only competitive advantage that the market looks at. So GB Auto, from an after-sales perspective, whether coverage of network, whether availability of parts, whether quality of the service, whether the availability of all the tools to sell a car, be it insurance, be it finance, all those represent significant competitive advantage for GB Auto, but unfortunately, with a huge price gap, or at least cost gap given from the custom duty difference, it still makes it impossible to yield healthy margins, even though we have this competitive advantage.
Great, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. There are no further questions in the queue.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank you for attending the call today, and I sincerely hope that during our next call, we will be able to outperform our expectations.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.